We are back with Millicent Millie Monks here in what has been your home for many,
yes,
maybe all of the years of your life. Haven't you thought of this, as you say, island as a grounding of
yes.
sorts?
Yes.
If you would, describe those three islands, and why do you pick those as metaphors? You think of yourself, I think, as a metaphor.
Yes.
Is that a metaphor?
I'm not sure. It's a metaphor, I guess.
why three islands?
Well, I think in the Vedic tradition, you are born and you are with a mother, and that's the first part of your life. And the Cumberland Island was run by a matriarch, very, very powerful matriarch, and my aunt was the next matriarch of Cumberland.
Now, who really. Were these people?
That was Bertha Carnegie. She was married to Thomas Carnegie. And then my aunt married a Rockefeller, so she was a Nancy Carnegie Rockefeller. But they were very powerful women. So I think, and this was my mother's place, so I think of that island as being the feminine. And it crawling trees and snakes and quick death and moisture. And then the middle island, this island, is the according to the Vedic tradition, then you go from the mother to the family and to work and to play. And that's what this island is. And it's sort of closer to civilization. And the third island is the island of the spiritual island. And there the light is crystal clear and the trees are straight. And there's a chapel. So that's how I came to think of that. The three islands.
And the third island is not simply spiritual, it also, in fact, on the ground, is
yes.
the patriarchal.
And thank you very much, it is the patriarchal.
So yes. Say more of that.
Yes, well, I think the elders in the third phase of their life go into the forest to study the spiritual life, to get ready for death. That's what they do, and it is very patriarchal. I mean, I think God and death and all those things are all male.
And then there is the monk's family.
yes. And they're all Boston patriarchs that go up there, so they're very craggy.
Craggy, good heavens. Well, if one thinks of... I don't think in the Vedic tradition.
Right.
So it is interesting to me, you being deeply American, how is it that you think in the Vedic tradition? How did you find your way to that?
Well, I suppose it started out by being interested in religion, getting confirmed, and keep looking and looking. And I tried to go to the Episcopal Theological School, but they wouldn't let me be a minister in those days.
And because?
I was a woman.
Silly question.
Well, I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that.
No. Well, I'm sorry. They should have ignored that.
I know. Then I got sick. I had cancer, and I thought I wasn't going to live. So then I began to explore other things and started meditating.
And that took you into the Eastern traditions?
Into the Eastern tradition and studying Vedic tradition and...
And you found something there that was deeper, bigger, other?
Absolutely fascinating to me. I mean, I think the tremendously old knowledge, I think it's 5,000-year-old knowledge that the Hindus or the Vedic tradition brings to us really is probably gives the religions we have today their... knowledge.
And foundations, perhaps?
Yeah. And St. Thomas was buried in India, and they say if you go to India that Christ, of course, was here and studied here. That was the 40 days in the wilderness was the years he spent in India. Now, I don't know, but that was sort of fascinating to me. So...
You use the image of the cross quite regularly in your in the stories of Three Islands.
Right.
It's not that you have removed yourself from the Christian tradition,
no.
It seems. And in fact, your ordination was at St. John the Divine, was it
right.
not? I am so fascinated by that. Will you tell me what, after all those years and all that journey, How did you end up at St. John the Divine in New York City being ordained?
Well, it's an interfaith religion, and they chose it. I have no idea why, but I guess being interfaith, we could have gone anywhere.
Well, did you march down aisles? Did you wear robes? Did the birds sing? What?
Well, we had Hindus, we had Muslims, we had Catholic, we had Episcopalians, we had witches, and we had healers. So everybody had their own thing that they brought to it, which was interfaith.
And each of you then was ordained?
Yeah.
One of my very favorite moments in the year comes at the winter solstice, when every year I put on the my brother gave me many years ago, I guess it was my brother and sister-in-law, gave me a recording of the Paul Winter Concert?
Right.
Paul Winter Concert? that took place at St. John the Divine. And this would have been in the, maybe early 80s. They've been doing it a very long time.
Beautiful.
And it had the whales, and it was
just beautiful.
It was. Is that the spirit that resides at this quite unusual cathedral?
Well, you know, I think we went to a part of the cathedral that was under construction, part of it was, so we didn't get to that beautiful spot, I'm afraid. But it was a very nice place.
Very nice indeed.
Part of the cathedral, but I think they were working on the cathedral or something. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I specifically thought of that as we sit here in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, with picture card perfect weather. I don't know quite how you did that for us.
But very hard.
And you succeeded very well. But I was thinking, as I often do, from that concert by the Paul Winter Consort.
Right.
It has a wonderful song in it. The sea is where all life begins.
That's lovely. I don't know it.
It's a worthy, beautiful song, and beauty, it seems to me, is part of what we're talking about as we talk of the three islands, as we talk about the work you've done over a lifetime in your pursuit of the arts. Isn't, you say of St. John that it was a beautiful place, isn't beauty, doesn't that have a great deal to do with the way you have spent your life force?
I find it almost more beautiful just to look at the ocean than to be in a cathedral or a church. But I've been threatening to build this crystal dome that'll be just a dome for women. It'll be a female church, and it'll be right on the ocean. So,
why would it be just for women?
I don't know. Just because I'd like to be in a place where there's just female spirit, and it didn't have a steeple on it, which is so masculine.
It is indeed. That's quite a phallic symbol, isn't it?
Yeah, and I had a hard time sometimes. I'm so glad I graduated, because I would say things like, well, I think we need to have something other than the Ten Commandments now, because those are commandments from a man, and we have a hard time keeping one of them. Doesn't it say, thou shalt not kill? Maybe we need 10 female suggestions.
I love it. 10 females. Where would we start? What would some of them be?
Haven't gotten that far.
Well, you could think of what. Would it start with "Thou shalt not kill" as a?
I don't think so.
What kind of bubbles up? What kind of suggestions has your now long life?
I think it would have something to do with starting to look inside and finding the peace that passes all understanding there instead of outside. Thou shalt enjoy the time you meditate and shall grow in consciousness that way. I don't know.
It's interesting you talk about the outside, inside. I had a friend who died at 104. And when she was about 102... She lived at a distance from me, so I had to travel to her. So we treated our time as very precious, she said. And she was from Vienna. Mm. Paula, she would say. Paula, if we were not in a hurry. She had been approached by a very aggressive religionist who was intent on converting her before she died so that she wouldn't go to hell and burn forever.
Dear.
And this woman had spent her life respectfully, but quite secularly, and she looked at me very hard, and she said, should I listen to her?
What did you say?
Well, I was trying very hard to not be judgmental and to say to her, some traditions look inside rather than outside. I don't think I said it as well as you have, but that one could find ways to die in peace, because that, of course, was the issue.
Right.
That were within oneself. And I said to her, I think that you have spent time within yourself that has given you a sense of peace and fulfillment and grace, if you will. And I said the person who was selling, unfortunately, was looking for answers outside of herself. Right. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and I think that we have such a misunderstanding of death, but that's another whole subject for another book. But I think Bobby's godson is a doctor in London, and he had Crohn's disease. Mm. And he eventually died officially on the operating table and came back. And he said, Millie, he said, it was the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me. It was like being picked up in my mother's arms. His mother had died having him. When he was five, she died. She told she shouldn't. And he said, I will never be afraid of death again. And I thanked him when we went back to London this time. You know, it was 4 years later, and I said, Wiz, thank you so much for telling me that, because that's been a wonderful thing to know.
Indeed. Let's go away so that we can come back to that very important subject. We'll be back in just a moment. Be with us.